Good afternoon. Let's just take a moment to pray for each other. Let's ask for our lady's intercession. Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph, Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite lines from St. Elizabeth's Prayer to the Trinity, which you have a copy of, she says, O consuming fire, spirit of love, overshadow me so that the Word may be, as it were, incarnate again in my soul. May I be for him a new humanity in which he can renew all his mystery. And you, O Father, bend down towards your poor little creature. Cover her with your shadow. See in her only your beloved Son, in whom you are well pleased. Get some beautiful and very important things from that. One is you see the sense that she has. May I be a new humanity in which he can renew all his mystery. Our perspective is often that we are the ones doing everything in our lives. I'm working so hard, I'm trying so hard, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm fixing this, I'm fixing that, I'm achieving this, I'm achieving that. You know, we're like working so hard. And she has this totally different perspective. He's doing something in us. He is renewing all of his mysteries in us. He is the one who is transforming us. He is the one who has a plan that he is working out in us. And she really helps to turn that around to see that the reality is more about letting him do it than about all of our hard work. It's nice just to rest in that for a moment. Let him do the work. He's doing it already. He's doing it in us. And what's he doing in us? That's also important because, you know, maybe he's making me into something, I don't know, stony and cold or something. You know, he's forming a work of art in me. Maybe it's a work of art I won't like very much. No. What's he forming in me? He's creating the Son of God in me. He's creating Christ in me. That I may be a new humanity in which he can renew all of his mystery. He is creating Christ is creating himself. The Holy Spirit is creating Christ in me. There's a beautiful author, a servant of God, cause is open for canonization, Archbishop Luis Martinez. He's several books. One of them is called The Sanctifier. It's probably his most well-known, or a section of it has been published as True Devotion to the Holy Spirit. Anyway, you can find these things in different ways. But he says, basically, the Holy Spirit only knows how to do one thing. He knows how to make Jesus. That's his principal task. How to do the incarnation. He knows how to unite humanity and divinity. The first time he did it in the womb of Mary. That's like his only trick, the Holy Spirit. I'm being a little playful, you know. He's slightly less playful, but he kind of says it this way, you know. Like, the Holy Spirit only has one trick. He knows how to unite humanity and divinity. He knows how to make Jesus. And that's what he's doing in us. He's making Jesus in us. He's forming us into Jesus. He's forming us into this mysterious union of human and divine. He's making us into the Son of God. And again, this is one of those moments, like I was saying about having heaven in our soul, that from time to time, and now would be a good time, from time to time, it's good for us to step back and say, wow, you're making me into the Son of God. That's amazing. Good for you. Pretty impressed with that. But that's the passive recipient in a way that we are to his work. He's really focused on this work. God is really focused on this. He's really dedicated to it. Again, we often get this idea in our head that we have to like get his attention. Hey, look at me. Don't forget about me. Pay attention to me. And God is like, I'm way more attentive to you than you are to me. I'm really focused on this work that I'm doing in you. It's just, I don't know, maybe you're the mother that said this kind of thing. I remember when I was getting my hair cut as a child, and my mother would, stop moving. You know, she was the one cutting my hair, I guess, when this started happening. You know, these electronic clippers make big cuts in your hair. You know, you want me to just take a big chunk out? Stop moving. But anyway, that's a little bit closer to what God is doing in us. He's like trying to shape us, you know, and he's like, whoa, 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 what are you doing there? Hold on, slow down, back up. We're going to like take a big chunk out. We don't want that. But that's, you know, God is really the one who's doing the work. Mostly we're just like, just sit there and let him do his thing. He's doing it in us. Now, again, we do have to do things. I'm not advocating the heresy of quietism, lest anybody get confused about that. We have to do things, but if we can keep readjusting our perspective to realize he's on it. He didn't miss some details. Like suddenly this thing happens in our life and we go, whoa, God, are you paying attention here? It's like, I know what's going on. I created that tornado and I knew exactly what it was going to do. And we're working it out. We're turning everybody into Jesus here. That's the plan. We're doing that. So anyway, he's forming, he's renewing his mysteries in me. He's doing this beautiful work in you. And every one of us has the capacity to be the incarnation. Now, we're all different facets of that. We're all different aspects of the union between humanity and divinity. The mystery of the incarnation. We're all different aspects of that, but all of us are being formed into Christ, into the Son of God. So Elizabeth has this very keen sense of this, and she wants it. So that's one of the ways that we cooperate with him is by wanting it. Want it. Want your life to be beautiful like that. Want your soul to be transformed like that. Want him to renew all of his mysteries in you. Want it. There are beautiful things. And I dare say, I mean, everybody's here on this retreat pretty much because we've been at this for a while, you know, and it's a good time on retreat also to just stop and take stock and look back. You know, you're in a different place now than you were. Some of you have been making this journey annually with me, you know, the last 10 or 11 years or 7 or 6 or 5 or 3 or whatever. I mean, I think you could probably see even from the first retreat. In fact, even though I have probably never used the same words twice in any of these retreats, you're picking up on the themes, you know, and you're starting to see it like, yeah, I got that. I'm tuning into that. Yeah, I'm seeing that at work in my life and some things in prayer and some things in charity, the ways that you're loving people, the ways that you're handling the trials that come, there's growth that's happening. That's Christ becoming alive in you. That's the Holy Spirit turning you into a new humanity in which he can renew all of his mysteries. That's God at work in your soul. He's doing something beautiful there. It's good for us to just look back at that and rest in that for a moment. You know, it's like when you're climbing a mountain, you're making, you know, it's a lot of work. But when you reach a little plateau and you look back and you go, wow, that's a big distance. We've come a long way. It's good to take stock of that. And there are some of you thinking, well, that applies to other people. I could point it out in your life. Whoever has doubts, I could point it out in your life. No, there's progress. All of us are being renewed in Him. And in some ways, the renewal in Him is a little bit surprising. You know, there are things that we think, aren't working. Well, even in those areas, sometimes it's like, because part of the thing is, in order to renew us, He has to melt us down a little bit. So like sometimes He turns the heat up, and when you turn the heat up in something, it exposes the flaws. And there are times that we were just living with stuff for a while, and now suddenly it's come to the surface, and we're like, whoa, man, that's like, there's some issues there. Yeah, there are, but they've always been there. Now they're coming to the surface, and they're coming to the surface because He's working on them now. He's ready to start transforming some of those things. It's not that my life just went south, and I'm now in no man's land or something. No. He turns up the temperature at different times to bring some stuff to the surface. And when things are coming up, He's also providing the grace to work through them. Sometimes the grace is an encounter with a person. Sometimes the grace is a time in retreat. Sometimes the grace is a word in prayer. Sometimes the grace is just an insight that comes to us when we're walking along the road, you know. So, but He's always going to bring the grace to deal with things that He's also bringing up. And He provides for us. It's very beautiful. So we're becoming this new humanity that's getting plugged into Him. It's a new humanity to be united with that divinity. So part of the new humanity is a path of purification. There's some stuff in us, there's some old patterns, there's some things that aren't wired up quite right, and there's some ways that He's just transforming and purifying some of that. But then He's always plugging it into Himself. He's never destroying our humanity. Renews, He purifies, but then when He unites it with His divinity, something beautiful happens. That's the union of humanity and divinity. And that's what Jesus is. When we look at Him, we see the unity of humanity and divinity. We see what that looks like. And you see that He was fully human. He had feelings. He had ideas. He had needs. He got hungry. He cried. He was human. He was really human. And God doesn't want to destroy our humanity, whether at the level of our feelings or our thoughts or our needs or anything else. He's not destroying our humanity. He's purifying it, renewing it, and uniting it with divinity. Just doing something beautiful. St. Elizabeth talks about... Oh, there's a couple of really beautiful things here. Well, let's see, where did this go? She says, God is the great solitary. My master asks me to imitate this perfection, to pay him homage by being a great solitary. The divine being lives in an eternal, immense solitude, never leaves it. Though concerning himself with the needs of his creatures, for he never leaves himself. And this solitude is nothing else than his divinity. Now we're gonna walk a little path. We'll see how well I can do this. So God is in solitude, right? He's alone. And what is his aloneness? His aloneness is his divinity. He's always himself. God never ceases being God. All the time, he's God. That's who he is. He's always in his divinity, and that divinity is a certain kind of solitude. But she recognizes that he stays in his divinity, and he reaches out to his creatures. That's us. He He reaches out to us. He takes care of our needs without ever leaving that place of solitude in himself. And we could even think of that divinity as being that eternal communion of love, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're always in relationship. They're always in communion with each other. They're always in that place of pure, infinite, self-emptying, mutual, reciprocal love. Just this perfect love. And from that love, he reaches out to us. Solitude. Now we, on the other hand, are in the place of our humanity. We're in the solitude, we could say, of our humanity. And we don't ever stop being human. We're really human. And humanity is all that stuff that we're used to. Feelings and thoughts and dreams and imaginations and memories and all that stuff. And our bodies and our needs and our hurts and our all the stuff of our humanity. We don't ever stop being human. But just like God in his divinity and the solitude of his divinity reaches out to our humanity, so we, in our humanity, are being drawn by him to reach out to him and to plug into his divinity. Now listen to what she says. This is the next thing. She says, so that nothing may draw me out of this beautiful silence within, I must always maintain the same dispositions, the same solitude, the same withdrawal, the same stripping of self. If my desires, my fears, my joys, or my sorrows, if all the movements proceeding from these four passions are not perfectly directed to God, I will not be solitary. There will be noise within me. There must be peace, sleep of the powers, the unity of being. So listen to those four passions again. Desires, fears, joys, sorrows. It's our emotional life. And those are all healthy parts of our emotional life. It's good for us to have desires and good for us to fear evil, sin, you know. Good for us to have joys, good for us to have sorrows. But what she's inviting us to do is she's saying, but we need to plug those into divinity. We need to plug those into God. So I think of it like this. You know, if you have an electrical plug, right, for a machine or whatever, you can think of a four-pronged one, those four different passions, and you plug those into God, something beautiful happens, doesn't it? The electricity starts to flow from divinity through those four passions into our humanity, and we start to get lit up with his divinity. Those passions get transformed. So our desires are something beautiful. Give them to God. Plug them into him. Our fears, and sometimes there are fears that are inordinate, that can be adjusted or purified, but how do we do that? Give them to God. Plug them in. Plug them into his love. Our joys, wonderful. We should delight in them and enjoy them. We should really enjoy life because there are lots of beautiful things to enjoy. Soak it in and plug it in to God. Plug it into his divinity. And our sorrows as well, because there are things that are really worth being sad about. There are things in life that are really sad, painful. We should cry. Tears are a gift. And plug it into God. We want to unite all of those aspects of our lives to him. We want to plug them into him. So what does that mean? How do we plug these things into God? Well, how does he receive them? How does he receive our desires? You know, there's something, and we can see, you know, there's always a place for purification and adjustment of these things. Again, we want our emotions to be transformed. We're not in a kind of just express everything mode of the emotional life. So we look at some of those things. But but our desires, a lot of very beautiful childlike desires in us. You know, and we should want things. Pope Francis, you know, just published a new apostolic exhortation on the Synod for the Youth. And he said some beautiful things, as he always says to young people. You know, the romantic in young people and the desire for great things. They want to conquer the world. They want to see everything. They want to experience everything. Great. That's wonderful. Go for it. You know, it's kind of, it's like, don't waste that desire. Now, really, go for it in the sense of let that be seen. Express that. Show it to God. Plug it into Him. And what's He going to do? He's going to delight in us. He's going to be charmed by that. He's going to be excited that we're so excited. And if we let Him, He's going to also guide us in that. He's not going to control us. And He's, you know, we're going to go a little, our path tends to be a little bit this way and a little bit that way and a little bit this way and a little bit that way. But more or less, you know, we go forward if we try. And God's, you know, really, He's kind of like keeping us in bounds. I've probably told you this story before because I like to tell it, but I was talking with a friend of mine. He had his little two-year-old running around. And my friend, even though he was fully engaged, actually, he was the one doing the talking even, he was kind of keeping an eye on his two-year-old who was about to run his head right into this table. I mean, just like heading right for collision. My friend, without interrupting his sentence, puts a hand up between his little boy's head and the table. His little boy bounces off of his hand and then goes in another direction, you know. But that's how God is like. He's got hands up all the time. And as long as we're not like so determined to run into that table that we're going to smash the hand and the table and everything else, you know, if we have a little bit of openness to the Lord, he's more than capable of deflecting us. And, you know, he doesn't want to interfere with our freedom. And He doesn't want to interfere with our emotional life. He's not into repressing and stamping things out. He wants us to have desires, and He wants us to have joys. And He wants us to also experience sorrow when there's loss. And He wants us to feel fear when there are things to be afraid of that we need to protect ourselves and be aware of. And so the Lord wants to take all of that and help us and really be a father for us. Sometimes a father that we didn't really have in our own lives, or a mother that we didn't have, but one who can really care for us. That's what happens when we start to plug those things in. So here's the thing. When it comes to prayer, all of our stuff inside is fair game. And now, St. Elizabeth didn't go into some of the other passions, including anger. Anger's also fair game, you know? There are some things that are worth being upset about in the world. There are real injustices, and the proper response to injustice is anger. And our anger does good things in us to resist that. First of all, in prayer, fair game. You need to do a little yelling internally or even externally. Maybe not the best on a silent retreat in the chapel, but you know, there are places. Go out to the Sorrowful Mysteries up there and do a little yelling. It'll be fine. But anyway, the point is we can really give these emotions to God in prayer, and He's not going to look at us and go, oh, you know, that's, I'm disappointed in you. Oh, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, should and shouldn't are not words that go together with feelings. We do or we don't. Again, there's a place for purification and transformation, and not all of our emotions are holy emotions, but they're the emotions that we have, and they're part of our humanity. And the only way that we can allow Him to make us a new humanity in which He can renew His mysteries is by giving our humanity to Him, plugging it into Him, showing Him, feeling it with Him, saying it to Him. That's the way we plug it in. And then the electricity of His divinity. And you know what His divinity consists of? God is love. His divinity, His electricity is love. Love is what flows back down that electrical wire, that flows back down into our passions to order them, to unify them. Love is what purifies us. Love is what animates us. Love is what He gives us in response. And that's what he wants to do in us. Transform us with love. So we can feel all of those things. We can receive his love. And, well, let's focus on that part. St. Elizabeth, just a little bit earlier, before this, she says, she quotes from Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, I love to talk about this because this is the favorite verse of perfectionists to justify themselves. Worse than that, it's the favorite verse of perfectionists to beat themselves with, and sometimes to beat other people with. What does Elizabeth say? "When my master makes me understand these words in the depths of my soul, it seems to me that he is asking me to live like the Father in an eternal present, with no before, no after, but wholly in the unity of my being in this eternal now." What is this present? This is what David tells me. They will adore him always because of himself. So this is how she understands that being perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect is to fully live in this moment. To fully live in this moment. And the only way that we can do that is by doing all the stuff I was just talking to you about, by the way, came after what I just read to you about living in the eternal present. I wanted to give you the apparatus before I zoomed back and gave you the big picture. But the fact is, how can I live now? Well, I have to be able to accept what I'm feeling right now, for example, and plug that into him. I have to be able to accept where I am in my life right now and let him love me there. I have to accept what's going on around me right now, what's happening to me, and trust that God has allowed this for a greater purpose, in fact, to transform me and to make me a saint, among other things. Because ultimately, when we talk about doing the will of God, which St. Elizabeth talks about quite a bit, she loves that verse from Jesus, "My food is to do the will of my Father." The will of God, fundamentally, is whatever is happening right now. The will of God for you is to be sitting right where you are, listening to me, feeling whatever you're feeling, being in your humanity as you are now. That's God's will right now. And to accept that, to live in that, to be here where we are now. And then I have to take that another step, because what is God doing right now? Right now, God is loving you. He is loving you as you are, where you are, in this moment. And that's the full reality right now. To learn to live here. What's hard about that is, as I said, it's sometimes hard to accept. And St. Elizabeth was writing this, by the way, when she was wasting away from a terrible terminal disease. In terrible pain, she was learning to live now in the suffering, in the pain, in what God was doing in her at that moment. Doesn't mean that she wasn't accepting medicine or that she wouldn't go to the doctor. Those interactions would also be happening now. She would be present in them. She wouldn't go to the doctor constantly thinking about what he could do for her and constantly anxious about whether he would or wouldn't be able to do those things for her. Again, this is not entirely under the direction of our will. We sometimes feel those things, even though we don't want to. Accept that. But anyway, she would go to the doctor, letting him examine her, and giving her whatever she needed. And it would work or it wouldn't work. And she would accept that one step at a time, accepting what is happening, accepting what is taking place. Doesn't mean that she didn't think about the future, that she didn't plan things, that she didn't think through things, but she didn't live there. She thought about the future, rooted in the present. She thought about the future, planted in God now. To always be present now. She didn't get hung up on the past, beating herself up about what she could have done or what she should have done or how she got here or what's happening. She wasn't constantly living in fantasy in her memory or fantasy in her future. She might look into the past. She looks into the past many times. She reflects on different things that she's learned and times that she's experienced God. But she's reflecting on the past from the present. She's living now with God as He has her here. And her past is for her to learn from, to see God present in, to thank Him in all of those things that happened in the past. But she's present here. And that's what unifies us and brings us together. So likewise, whatever feelings are happening now, I don't need to judge those or condemn those. I don't need to make my happiness dependent on fixing those. I plug them into God now. I feel them. I let Him love me. That's what's happening now. So it really gives us permission to rest even, to rest in confidence that God's will is being done, God's will is for my holiness, God's will is His love for me. And that's all happening now. It's not something I need to achieve later. I don't need to worry about where I'm going to get to. Don't have to figure all of that out. I can simply let Him love me now, where I am. That's what it means to be perfect. To live in your skin. To live in your humanity. To be in the solitude of your humanity, which is plugged into the divine electricity of God's love now, because it's always available to us now. God is always with us now. His love is always pouring out on us now. Be here, receive that, and that will animate us and direct us and make us more available to people, not less available. It will make us more filled with ideas of what to do next. It will be more guidance for us to receive it now instead of always running ahead of Him, leaving Him behind. Be with Him. Be with Him where He is. And that's how we become the great solitary. United in His solitude, united in His divinity. With Him. Okay. I think it's good for now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for bringing this into this place where You accept us as we are, where You love us unconditionally. Let Your love flow into all of those places, all of those passions, all of those parts of us. Let Your love flow into all of those parts of us, even that feel dead, but can be animated by the electricity of Your divine charity. Renew us. Make us a new humanity in which Your Son can renew all of His mysteries so that You will see in us Your Son, so that You will look at us and recognize Him, so that You can delight in us even more. And we ask this in His name, Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.